Welcome to part two of the August edition of the AA Grapevine, the magazine of Alcoholics Anonymous. The theme for this month is Agnostics and Atheists' Contribution to Alcoholics Anonymous. As this is part two, I will continue. The next story is One Drop at a Time by Diane T. of Rushville, Indiana. The process of spirituality and acceptance for this agnostic member is a steady, ongoing journey. The God aspect of this program has always disappointed me. I am agnostic, and it amazes me how many other people I meet who feel similarly. Yet, I have run into many members who interpret AA as a program in which you cannot succeed without a God. My higher power is actually the Allen County Sheriff Department, because jail is the place where I finally surrendered to this disease. I started my journey to sobriety by getting in trouble with DUIs. I went to treatment programs and eventually to two halfway houses and recovery living facilities. Along the way, I would hear spirituality brought into the conversation, and I assumed it meant religious beliefs. Today, for me, that's not what it means. When I truly knew I was an alcoholic and started going to AA meetings, I would see the word spirituality in the literature and began to wonder exactly what the meaning was. So I went on a quest for a definition. An old dictionary I found stated it meant the relationship between your spirit and the universe around you, or how your spirit relates to nature. That definition makes the word a lot more useful for me. The essence or the energy that is me has a natural place in this world, and I just needed to find it. I needed to stop trying to make myself someone I'm not, so that I could stop feeling like I didn't belong. So I spent time staying sober and working the steps. I thought of my spirituality as becoming more of the me I'm naturally supposed to be, including in my relationships. And by the same right, the concept of God doesn't disappear because I don't believe. This God people speak of either exists or it doesn't. The important thing is that I know I am not God, and the world does not revolve around me. This knowledge helps me to be together with others who believe and gives me the ability to be content, being me, along with acceptance of my strengths and weaknesses. The process is slow and ongoing. I think of it as filling a bucket a drop at a time. At first, progress seems slow and unproductive, but over time, the changes start to show. Going to meetings, working with a sponsor, working with a newcomer, helping others, and practicing gratitude are all ways I can add drops to my bucket. Eventually, the change is obvious, and sometimes I even feel like I don't recognize the person I used to be. My spirituality, as I understand it, can evaporate, so I need to keep filling the bucket a drop at a time. As far as whether there is a God or not, the question doesn't matter to me. My actions are the same either way. And that's the end of that story. We're in this together is the next story. By Ron B. of Costa Mesa, California. One member shares why he joins in with his group's prayers rather than rebel and be different. I've come to appreciate the inclusiveness and spiritual adaptability of AA's program of recovery, but it took me a while. Religious references and meetings and literature didn't jibe with my secular and self-will-driven outlook on the world. They almost kept me from joining AA, but it wasn't being an atheist that stood in the way of my recovery from alcoholism. It was my attitude. I began to question my faith long before I arrived at AA. I had become dismayed and disheartened by religious tenets that were once about faith, mystery, and bringing out the best in ourselves, but now appear to me to be more often about certainty and tolerance. As such, my beliefs didn't and still don't include the idea of God. By the time I got to AA, I knew what I didn't believe in. However, I couldn't say what I did believe in. As my illusion of self-sufficiency has been obliterated by my alcoholism, a member invited me to AA and told me I'd have to find God in order to recover. I argued that this would be impossible because I was an atheist, but I also had a moment of panic at the thought that my beliefs meant I'd be condemned to an alcoholic death. Undeterred, he simply asked me, "Do you think you might be able to consider the possibility of a power greater than yourself?" I pondered this for a long time while attending meetings. I managed to participate in AA group rituals to a degree, but not completely. My reluctance was evident while memorizing the Serenity Prayer and the third and seventh step prayers. Wherever the word God appeared, I changed it to love. However, I couldn't bring myself to say my version of these prayers in the company of other AA members. It felt distracting, inconsiderate, and an unhelpful exertion of my ego. To my surprise, I realized that by thinking of others ahead of myself, I was starting to become less self-centered and open to a power greater than myself. AA encourages us to choose our own interpretation of this higher power. It can be whatever we want and doesn't have to be a specific deity or faith. Removing a reason that we secular alcoholics used to justify avoiding AA. Eventually, out of ideas and intrigued by the possibility of a power that wasn't me, I set aside my arguments and chose a higher power of my own understanding. This spiritual freedom of choice helped to ease my discomfort when faced with meetings or literature filled with the dreaded G word. Though the original version of the Big Book was modified to a more non-denominational spirituality, the use of Christian references and the word God are still widespread. But in its many passages on atheism and agnosticism, I discovered a fellowship bending over backward to help every alcoholic, regardless of their beliefs. I highly recommend checking them out. Through the book's teachings and its examples and the welcoming attitude of members, I have found fellowship and support throughout my recovery journey. I've also gotten over hearing or saying or writing the word God. Whatever beliefs I hold, I must be careful not to use them to justify resentments that are as life-threatening to me as alcohol itself. I avoid this trap by respecting AA traditions and the beliefs of others. Joining group rituals like the Serenity Prayer is more important to my sobriety than it is to rebel. My choosing to participate in something that unites me with my fellow alcoholics, though it may have religious elements, doesn't harm me in any way. In fact, it allows me to be of service while reducing my need to be terminally unique. I join in and recite meeting prayers as written, if I know them, even those decidedly Christian ones like the Lord's Prayer. Or I stand quietly if I don't know the prayer. My reprieve from alcoholism is also contingent on not putting my atheism ahead of my recovery. Any barriers to my sobriety are of my own making. So the remedy isn't trying to change AA, but to change myself. Not from atheist to religious, but from intolerant to tolerant. From judgmental to non-judgmental, from disdainful to open-minded. Honestly trying to embrace these attributes taught to me by AA helps me stay sober a day at a time, and I can practice them regardless of whether or not I believe in a deity. I'm grateful that my secular beliefs don't keep me away from AA because the program has saved my life, and I've experienced the blessings of its inclusiveness firsthand. I have a sponsor who is Hindi, a brother sponsee who's Muslim, and another who practices Native American rites and rituals. We recite AA prayers without hesitation while knowing we can choose not to. Guided by Tradition 5, we focus on carrying the message of recovery with every alcoholic. This includes being respectful and considerate of each other's religious beliefs or non-belief by not trying to convert anyone. My higher power is still a mystery to me, but I have faith in a recovery program where every alcoholic can have different beliefs and still find sobriety. However, I don't identify as an atheist alcoholic any more than I'd identify as a Christian alcoholic. Countless agnostics and atheists in AA are quietly walking the road of happy destiny alongside our religious brethren. Whether secular or religious, we invite you to join us. We are simply recovering alcoholics who have learned that being open to a power greater than ourselves will lead us to freedom from alcoholism and a happy, sober life, a life beyond belief. And that's the end of that story. Next story is entitled Right Here Inside by Ruth P. of Seattle, Washington. Like many others, she began searching to find a higher power. Then one day a tragedy made it clear. Lately, I've been asking other AAs, how do you conceptualize your higher power? I was surprised that most people I asked, even seasoned old-timers, did not have a super clear picture of their higher power. Most people said something like, it's a force in the universe. It's my community, the Fellowship of AA. Many said they're still searching. Their lack of clarity was oddly reassuring. It took me a long time and a lot of searching to come up with my own idea of my higher power. I was raised Catholic, and although I loved the stories about Jesus, I wasn't a fan of God. To me, God seemed thin-skinned and petty. For example, I couldn't understand why we couldn't take his name in vain. He'd be mad that we disrespected him. I never got it. Early in my sobriety, I searched for my higher power. Some ideas felt right, the good force in the universe, the natural world, the inherent goodness of people. But HP was elusive, and I never quite put my finger on it. Then in my fourth year of sobriety, my husband was killed. We had recently celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and we're still very much in love. Before he died, if you had asked me what would happen if I lost him, I would have told you I'd be incapable of going on. Yet, somehow, I did. A few weeks after his death, my sister asked how I was able to carry on. I told her, I don't really know. It's as if there's a light inside me that comforts me, keeps me warm, and guides my way. It was at that moment I realized that that was my higher power. I had been looking outside of myself when the whole time it was right here inside. Things started to make a whole lot more sense after that. I love our saying, take what you need and leave the rest. That's solid, but it implies a finite process. I like to add, and keep searching. And that's the end of that short story. Next, We Share Common Ground by Ward B. Ewing, Trustee Emeritus, Past Chair, Non-Alcoholic of the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Ordained Episcopal Priest, Retired President of the General Theological Seminary, from Grapevine, October 2016. A past General Service Board Chair shares his thoughts after attending an atheist and agnostic AA convention. In November of 2014, I was privileged to participate in the first international conference for atheists and agnostics and freethinkers in AA. Many seemed surprised that I, as a religious non-alcoholic person whose spiritual life has been strengthened, sustained, and enriched by this fellowship, would be part of this group. Frankly, I was surprised by the exclusion from AA felt by many of the participants in the conference. I knew about areas where the intergroups had delisted groups because they self-identified as being for those who cannot accept belief in a transcendent deity. But I was unaware of the depth of pain experienced by so many who were told they could never stay sober unless they came to believe in a God of their understanding. Clearly, that conclusion is not true. As I met many with 30 or 40 years sobriety who do not believe in an anthropomorphic interventionist male deity. As one participant expressed his experience, you would be surprised by the scrutiny, be it reality or perception, that non-believers are subject to within AA at large. Some of our fellow AA members are fearful, dismissive, or outright hostile toward us. I was surprised because atheists and agnostics have been a part of AA from the beginning and even played a role in writing the Big Book. Opinions of those uncomfortable with traditional God language led to the change in the steps shortly before it was published. In step two, the term God was replaced with power greater than ourselves. And in steps 3 and 11, the term God as we understand him was used. And the steps are clearly identified as suggestions. In AA comes of age. As we all know, membership in AA is defined by the third tradition. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. We have a singleness of purpose articulated in the fifth tradition to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Part of what has always been an attraction of AA for me has been its openness to anyone who desires to stop drinking. Before other organizations were open to African Americans and other minorities, women, or gay and lesbian people, AA welcomed them. This record of inclusion is dramatic and comes from the third tradition. I do not understand how anyone might be excluded because of theology. Intolerance born of religious certainty is as old as the hills and as destructive and ugly today as it has been in the past. This fellowship has always found unity through love and tolerance, not theological agreement. We often hear stories of people who were turned off by the God talk when they attended their first AA meeting. They returned because they had no place else to go. Many later found a God of their understanding that supported their new life. We do not, however, hear the stories of those who were turned off by God talk at their first meeting and who never returned to AA. One can only fear they never found help. I have previously written about the importance of maintaining the distinction between religion and spirituality. AA has a spiritual program. It is not religious. Religion has a way of sneaking in, and when it does, we run the risk of excluding some who come seeking help and are turned off by religious language. Some never come back. I recognize that each group is autonomous, but I find I am uncomfortable with religious language, particularly in open meetings. As Bill W. wrote in Grapevine, July 1965, newcomers are approaching AA at the rate often of thousands yearly. They represent almost every belief and attitude imaginable. We have atheists and agnostics. We have people of nearly every race, culture, and religion. In AA, we are supposed to be bound together in the kinship of common suffering. Consequently, the full individual liberty to practice any creed or principle or therapy, whatever, should be of first consideration for us all. Let us not, therefore, pressure anyone with our individual or even our collective views. Let us instead accord each other the respect and love that is due to every human being as he tries to make his way toward the light. Let us always try to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Let us remember that each alcoholic among us is a member of AA so long as he or she declares. The spirituality of the 12 steps and of AA as a whole is clear and powerful. Hope, true, honest, letting go, acceptance, loving others as a way of loving self, gratitude. These are the spiritual realities that are part of the culture of AA. One might also mention unity, carrying the message, singleness of purpose, self-support, and anonymity as spiritual characteristics. These qualities form an invisible, intangible culture. They are spiritual realities. They are difficult, maybe even impossible to define. We must experience them. Just so are lives changed and formed by this invisible culture, the spirit of AA, that is an integral part of the fellowship. This is experiential spirituality. It is pragmatic. It is known through living, not from some preordained theoretical position. What truly matters is this spirituality, a newcomer caught by hope, the sharing of one's story, seeking above all to be truthful, letting go of the desire to be self-directed by choosing a sponsor, identifying with another who is both different and yet the same, discovering the gifts we have been given, becoming happy, joyous, and free, all made possible by the spirit of AA, unseen, indescribable, known through experience. I find that believers, non-believers, theists, atheists, agnostics, freethinkers all share common ground found in a common experience that is shaped and formed by this culture of AA. This collective power of AA is greater than any particular person or group. It makes the impossible possible. The power can be discovered within a person, but it is also beyond. It is an inner resource. It is a collective power. Many refer to this invisible reality, this culture of AA, this spirit, this higher power, as God. Others who cannot bring themselves to compromise their rational understandings to believe in some sort of deity still experience the power of this invisible reality within AA groups. I would suggest that since all the members of the fellowship are influenced by this invisible power, the differences between those who wish to call it God and those who choose a different name are tiny in comparison to our shared experience. What we believe about something is far less important in living than what we experience. Experience is what transforms us. Belief is our attempt to explain. Experience trumps explanation. And that's the end of that story. And the end of part two of the August edition of the AA Grapevine. Again, my name is Vicki Duke. I am coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona to be continued on part three.